It is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Had a wonderful time here Wednesday night, didn't we? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Just wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. We certainly appreciate what the Lord is doing for us. Right now, here in Satan's Eden, we're such a blessed people. Oh, we're such a blessed people. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Gary Ayers called just a while ago. And he wanted to, first of all, greet Brother Donnie and the church and to thank you for praying for him. Back in 2005, Brother Gary had open heart surgery. And he was here a couple of weekends ago. And that next Wednesday, he was going to the doctor to do a heart catheterization. And they was really concerned. And when he was here, he said, Brother Louis, I'll just be honest. He said, I was really, really worried. And he asked the church to pray, and people from other places prayed, and we're just he went to the doctor, and the doctors looked at everything and said, we can't find one thing in the world wrong with you right now. So he wants to praise the Lord. So we praise the Lord for that good testimony tonight. This is a request. Says my daughter-in-law is in the hospital. Twins are due in 3 weeks. There's an infection around her liver. She is on dialysis. One of the babies doesn't have a heartbeat, so they're asking that we certainly would remember that prayer request tonight. The Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Bruce Hackett, who is suffering from gout, so let's remember him tonight as we pray. And then this is just another note about Brother Gary Ayers. He's just so thankful and appreciates you praying for him. Want to continue to pray for Brother Junior Davis. He is in very serious condition, really needs our prayers. Also remember the family. So we certainly want to pray for our brother tonight, that the divine will of the Lord would be done for our brother. We just ask that. Amen. I want to pray for my brother, Brian Schrader. He's in the Johnson City VA Medical Center, troubles with his heart. And Brother Keith Strader sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. Also, Brother Abe Dyke wants to request prayer for God's leadership in his life and also his family's lives. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Phyllis Doss, that's Sister Carrie Arwood's mother. She broke her hip and had surgery yesterday, so they're asking that we remember her in prayer tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, you believe God's able? You believe God's able? Somebody say, I believe it with all of my heart. Let's stand tonight. Brother Harris, sing that verse for us one more time, if you will, as we sing tonight. Who's on the Lord's side? I'm glad I can say I'm on the winning team. Praise the Lord.
Now to God is granted all the praise and glory.
Oh, yes, sir.
For he gave his son on Calvary to die. Oh, that same son gave his life on, oh, Golgotha. Now tell me who is on.
Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy wanted me to give a praise report on their behalf about 3:30 this evening. They was involved in an automobile accident, and just by the grace of God, Brother Charlie says they're here tonight. So we praise the Lord for that, don't we? Amen. Brother Gene, come tonight, pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto our Lord. He's more than able to meet your need tonight. Brother Gene, God bless you. Appreciate you.
About a month ago, I was having some real difficulty. I didn't know what it was. So I came up and I thought I was having acid reflux and asked Brother Donnie to pray for me. He prayed for me and it seemed like that subsided a little bit. I had an appointment to go to the doctor and he checked my heart and he said, there's something wrong. And I said, what's the matter, Doc? And he said, I don't know. I think you need to go have a stress test and an echocardiogram. So I went and had that. And in the meantime, I came back up. They told me I had a fibrillation. So I came up after that. I told Brother Donnie that it wasn't acid reflux. It was a fib. So I asked him to pray for me. And you remember, you put your hand right on my heart. And so I went and had the two tests. And I said, who's going to check the test? I went a whole month. Nobody. I called a doctor. So anyway, I had an appointment with the cardiologist. So I went over to the heart center. And so he came in that morning and he looked at me and he said, Mr. Lehman, he said, everyone, your test was perfect. So I thank God for it. Let's just believe God tonight. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity we, Lord, have to gather here in this place, God. We invite you in. We invite your presence in. We invite you to have your way with each one of us tonight, God. We thank you for your healing power, God. We thank you for your love and mercy. God, it reaches higher than mortal hand could ever reach. Lord, you're greater than what we could ever even extol you, God. We could not have a vocabulary, God, that would tell how great you are, Father. And Lord, how you watch over your children, how you take care of them, how you watch them, and how you, Lord, if someone would offend them, God, you'd come to their rescue, Father. We pray now that you'll meet the need of these requests, Father. Brother Gary, Lord, his testimony, Lord. Many, God, Lord, that you have moved on and you have moved in a mighty way, God. Those requests, Father, that, Lord, Brother Junior Davis laying in the hospital tonight, God. Lord, our heart's heavy for him, God. Lord, you know the need tonight, God. Only you can move and only you can make a way, Father. Only you can meet the need, Father, tonight of his life tonight, God. So we leave it in your hands, Father. We know you're a healer. Whatever your will is, God, may it be done, God, for your glory, Father. We pray now for these requests that we hold in our hand, Lord. May each one of them be met according to the need, God, that only you can supply tonight, Father. Meet the need of the service tonight. Bless the minister tonight, God. Bless him, Lord. May he pour out of his heart, God, and may we our hearts receive what we need tonight, God, that will lift us up, get us a little bit closer to you, Father. We pray. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Gene. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, we're certainly hope this service will be a blessing to them. Good to see Brother Jewel Forney with us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me make this announcement before we sing tonight. Sister Tasha, I want you and everyone who's going to help you sing tonight, Sister Tasha, if you'd be getting ready. There have been many items that have been gathered from the pavilion and will be on a table in the fellowship hall tonight and tomorrow. Please check to see if anything belongs to you before these items are disposed of. So remember that tonight and tomorrow you can go over there. And if you have any items, please get those tonight or in the morning before they're disposed of. Let's sing a song tonight. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad that when he came, he found you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with me. He came looking for
Come here real quick. Brother Wayne, you come to the drums. Chuck, you go over here to the piano or the organ with Harry and Joel. They're going to sing us a song tonight. Through the fire. He'll take you through the fire. You believe he'll take you through the fire tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember, you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give me, just hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself
says, not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said, "Help would always come in time." Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, "Give me just hold on." Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
So just hold on. Our Lord will show up.
Say praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Give Him one more great hand. Have a praise tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. I tell you, we're fixing to have some church here just right now. Just right now. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Sister Tasha, if you would come. Ever how you have that put together tonight. Give them a nice hand as they come to sing for you tonight. We appreciate them being here, don't we? Praise the Lord.
That they sing this song.
God is making me new. You may not see it happen. happen until he gets through. Little by little, I change and I'm growing. Little by little, I hope that it's showing. I'm not who I'll be. I was walking when I was small, learning the things as I go. Some people say I'm getting so tall. Where did the little kid go? Inside and out, God is making me new. You may not see it happen until he gets through.
Amen. We enjoyed that tonight, did we? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jewel, come here just a minute. I don't know how in the world you're going to get out of not singing just a line or two of "Won't We Have a Time." You ain't got much of a choice, buddy.
Lord, I'm going to maybe hit a verse of it. Maybe I get out of it in the morning. Won't it be a time? Hallelujah. I'm looking out there. People done got gray hair. Some people done got no hair. But we got to look for a promise. One more thing. I'm looking for a promise. Hallelujah. They're going to make a young man run again. An old man run again. Hallelujah. I'll make these old bones straight now. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry about going to the hospital. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel a body change coming on. Hallelujah. Somebody body. Leave that alone. But I'm going to say, hey, we thank God tonight that that song will be sung one day for the last time. How does somebody get ready to wake up? They're going to look at their hands. Thank the Lord for tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord tonight. We here to be in service, having to have a good time in the Word of God. Hallelujah. You say, I'm too old to praise God. How you get that in your? Hallelujah. People's on Price is Right. There's a lot older than you. I've seen some die. Hallelujah. And Bob said, come on now. My son-in-law, praise God tonight, Carlos. Carlos Lipson. He'll be coming to get a word tonight. He's been a young man that really loved the Lord. He's been good to my daughter, to his three sons, that son. And this may be your first time hearing him, but he to give all he got to the Lord. I'm not gonna, I believe by God's grace, let every man give, make room for himself. Hallelujah. You to pull on the gift of God, let go and preach. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe by God's grace, we looking for God to do something tonight. I'm looking for God to move tonight. Hallelujah. I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to do something tonight. Hallelujah. I'm looking at service and say, I'm a believer. I believe in the impossible. When things are impossible, I believe God to do something tonight. Hallelujah. As he get ready to come tonight, let us let Brother Harry sing that song. He knows my name, you know that song. He knows my name, and I'm going to. Brother Daniel, you going to say something? Okay. He knows my name tonight. Praise God. And I'm going to give it over to you, Brother Carlo Lipson. God bless you tonight.
The other one, Bradley.
He knows my name.
Amen. How many believe that? Amen. 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 If you just think about the words that, there's many gods out there, but we have the privilege to serve the true and living God. And whenever we call, I don't know everybody by name, but just say he knows everybody by name. And he promised when we call that he would hear us. We're privileged people. Amen. Amen. If you would, just turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to thank my little boys for singing. Daddy's proud of them. My wife, she always worked with kids, but I never was around kids when I was coming up. So when my kids was born, I'm just straightforward. I told them, I said, listen, I said, you the first kids I ever had, and I'm the first daddy you ever had. So I said, we going to make some mistakes, so just forgive daddy. But it takes a lot for little kids to come up here and sing, amen. I took them to the park one day. I don't want to keep it on, but as a parent, You want to do the right thing. You know, you wonder, Lord, am I doing the right thing? Or are they learning? And I took them to the park one day, and all three of them was leaving, and they started singing a song, I'm a Christian. You know, just marching along singing, you know, and it really touched me. You realize that your labor's not in vain. Amen. Amen. But if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Yes. Let us just bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you know all things, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you see the nervousness of my heart, Lord, because I realize, Lord, that this is the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I don't want it to be my own thoughts or what I think, but Lord, we just want to invite you, Lord, to have complete control of this service, Lord. Lord, we want to invite you, Lord, to walk the aisles of our heart, Lord. And Lord, may we not look and say, oh, it's for that one or for that one, but Lord, we have to come to a place where we can be honest with ourselves. We can look in the mirror of your word, Lord, and see where we line up. Lord, there's many needs here tonight. Lord, I have needs myself, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. If we've done anything or said anything, Lord, that wasn't pleasing in your sight, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. But Lord, we want to come under the realm of expectation, Lord, where we expect to hear from you, Lord. Lord, may the people realize, Lord, that whatever they expect, that's what they're going to get. If they expect to find fault, they're going to find fault. But Lord, may they expect to hear from you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. I guess if I had a title for my message today, I want to speak on a disciplined soldier. But before I get started, I want to tell you a little testimony about myself. A lot of times people are geared the way they're geared is because what they went through when they were younger. Amen. You know, I don't know about y'all, but just listen to the prophet, how he's always giving illustrations. And, you know, I just sit back and I can see it. Amen. But just give you a little testimony about myself. My name is Carlos Lamont Lipscomb. I'm from Rutherford County. Brother Dan Daisy, he used to pastor assembly up there before he passed away. As long as I grew up in that county, I never knew nothing about the message. Been by that church many times, didn't know nothing about it. But growing up as a kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, I had a desire to serve God. I can remember reading my Bible crying. Now listen to me, parents. It pays what you say to your kids, amen. Because they're little sponges, amen. If you tell little Junior you're a nobody, you ain't going to amount to nothing, that's what's going to happen, amen. And I can remember growing up as a little kid just having a desire to serve God. Didn't nobody tell me to serve God. Didn't nobody tell me to read my Bible. 7 years old, running out to a building, crying out to God. But then I began to cry, and, you know, a gospel song would come on, and I would raise my hand and praise the Lord and cry. And then my mother began to say, look at you. You're a crybaby. What are you crying for? You're a crybaby. And that so hardened my heart that I said, I'm not going to let nobody see me cry. And I can look back in my life and see where I drifted and got away from God, amen, because of the things that were spoke to me. And so later on, I started hanging out with the wrong group, and I was raised in a Baptist church. And I always watch people's lives. You can ask my wife, I'm just so simple to give you an illustration. When I was in the world, I said, a sinner is a sinner. We don't go to church. We sin. And so I assumed that everybody that went to church, they were living right, amen. That was my mentality, amen.
If you go to church, you're going to live right. If you don't go to church, you do wrong. But there wasn't no in between, amen. And I still think like that, amen. And so as I move on, I start hanging out with the wrong people. I can remember my mama left a note on my bed. And even though she wasn't serving the Lord, she was trying to do her best to raise me, amen. And she left a note on my bed. She said, if you keep hanging out with the same people you're hanging out with, something's going to happen to you. I remember balling up the note, and I threw it down. I walked outside, and me and this fella got in an argument, and I got hit with a 44 or a 45. He shot me in my leg, amen. So I fell. My uncle took me to the hospital. And so another day, I see another note on my bed. My mama, same thing. You keep hanging out with the same people you're hanging out with, something's going to happen to you. I believe later on that day I went to jail. So when I got out of jail the next morning, I told my mama, I said, listen, mama, I don't say this to be funny, but I said, don't put no more notes on my bed. I said, if you got something to tell me, you just tell me. Don't put no more notes on my bed, amen. But it goes back, even though she wasn't serving God, amen, that desire to just raise me to want to do right, amen, but I didn't want to listen. And even though when I was running the streets out in the world and I would come home and I would lay down and I would look up at my Bible that I got for graduation, I would think in my head, I got to be baptized before I die. I don't know why I thought that. I said, before I die, I got to be baptized. I didn't think I lived to see 18. My family didn't think I lived to see 18. I said, before I die, I got to be baptized. And so long story short, I moved to Hickory, North Carolina with my aunt and uncle, and I got a job, and I started working at this place, and it goes back to people are watching you. Listen to me. I'm going to get my message, but people are watching you. And what was a stumbling block to me, I would be in the bootleg house and we talking about sinning or whatever, and it'd be the deacon in the church drinking more liquor than me and telling me I need to go to church. And it put a stumbling block in my path, amen. Because remember, people are watching you, amen. The prophet said your life speaks so loud that your words can't be heard, amen. And so I moved to Hickory, and it was a brother in a Pentecostal church. I seen the life of Jesus Christ in his life. And I got thirsty. I said, I want what you got. I seen him get mad at somebody and go back and apologize. And he wasn't in the room. And I'm thinking, I ain't never seen that before. And so I started serving God, and I began to hear little things about William Branham. And I seen people on TV talk about William Branham and a fellow from Southern Pines, North Carolina. And so I worked with a Methodist believer. And one day he was witness to my friend, and he gave him a church age book. And I looked over, I said, what'd you give him? He said, you want one? And he gave me a church age book. Now remember, I always had a desire, I got to be baptized before I die. And so I go home and I lay on my couch and I begin reading the church age book. And I said, oh my goodness. You see, I was that fellow with dreadlocks, tattoos, and baggy pants. You know, sometimes we only want to witness the people that fit our agenda, that look like we look, amen. But see, I said, what if that man would have never took time out, amen? Because see, you don't know what's on the inside, amen. So many times we judge from the outward appearance, amen. And so I read this church age book, and I read baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I go to my Pentecostal pastor, and you know, just long story short, I wrestle with it. Because I said, this is too good to be true. Why ain't nobody else heard about it? I tried to witness to my mama, to my sister, and everybody. And they said, oh, he's false. But I said, it's too good to be true. And so I come out of Pentecostal church and I started going to a message church. Now remember, my mentality of thinking was, if you're in church, you're serving God. Everybody living right. And so when I go to a message church, I said, this is it. Everybody gonna be living, because what we got, everybody gonna be living right. And I can remember me and my wife was sitting in church, and I seen some sister's hair. And in my mind I was thinking, because see the word tell our sisters don't cut their hair. So in my mind I'm thinking, don't nobody cut their hair, because the word say don't cut your hair. And so I asked my wife, I said, honey, how do they get their hair to grow straight across like that? Because in my mind I'm thinking, well, surely they won't be cutting their hair. And my wife looked at me and said, you dummy. I said, they're cutting their hair. Are you hearing me? But see, that's just my way of thinking, amen. The word said don't do it, and I'm thinking, why are they doing it if the word say don't do it, amen? But tonight I want to speak on a disciplined soldier. The prophet of God, you go back and listen to some messages of how can I overcome, and he talks about you're going to meet your enemy. And he said, you better know his tactics, amen, because you're going to meet him, amen. And so I did a little study. I have a great deal of respect for people in the service, in the Army and Navy, because I have a great deal of respect for them. I have a great deal of respect for firemen and police officers, even though people complain about them. When somebody break in your house, you're going to call the cops. When your house catch on fire, you're going to call the fire department, and you want them there, amen. So I have a great deal of respect for them, amen. And so I was at work one day, and I seen this film, and it goes back to people are watching you. And so I was at work one day, and it was time to clean up, and everybody's shaking off the rug, just throwing it down. And I see this gentleman to my side. He shakes his rug real nice, and he folds his rug, amen. Now, remember, people are watching you. And so I go up to him. I said, man, I said, how long was you in the service? He said, what? I said, how long was you in the military? He said, man, that's 8 years ago. He said, how'd you know I was in the military? I said, by your characteristics. I said, because some people, when it's time to go home, people just shake the rug off, throw it. But I said, you're over there folding your rug. It showed me that you had some training in your life, amen. And even though he had been in the military 8 years ago, amen, the things that he learned, amen, it molded him, amen. And he was still doing the same thing. And so I thought on this little message, a disciplined soldier. The prophet said, and God is identified by his characteristics. He said, I was reading some time ago about one of the problems that was put to the test of Solomon by the queen, that she had some women dressed like men. And Solomon had them to walk up and do a few things. Quickly, he said, them's women. See, because he could tell the way they did that the characteristics of them was women. Amen. Now, if we're supposed to be Christ-like, amen, our characteristics ought to be like Christ, amen. Our attitudes ought to be like Christ, amen, because that's our characteristics, amen, if we're a Christian, amen. The prophet told us being a Christian is not living for ourselves, amen, but it's living for others, amen. Remember, we're speaking about a disciplined soldier. The prophet said there's a difference between a Christian and a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. We live in a day, listen folks, I'm here to tell you, God is a keeper. I don't care how young you are, God is a keeper, amen. You can serve God, you can be happy. See, young people, this is not a bunch of do's and don'ts, amen. See, when you fall in love with them, amen. See, it's not, well, I gotta go to church. Listen, I tell young people all the time, you talk to anybody that's went out in the world and come back, and they'll tell you, it ain't worth it. Oh, you hear me? I didn't see nothing fun about waking up with a hangover, my money gone. My friend done ran behind my back talking to my girlfriend. There wasn't nothing fun about that. But see, the devil will paint a picture, young people. This is what you're missing out on. But back to characteristics. I looked up the word civilian. And civilian is a person who is not a member of his or her country's armed forces or militia. We realize a soldier has, as we read in Ephesians, a soldier has armor. And you have to prepare yourself for battle. So I took an illustration of the army. And I looked up boot camp, or it's called basic training. It said boot camp or basic training is the doorway to the military. Civilians enter and soldiers come out. Now the natural types are spiritual. So when I'm reading this in the natural, now we're all mature, amen. You catch it in the spiritual, amen. It said boot camp or basic training is the doorway to the military. Civilians enter and soldiers come out. It has an interesting reputation. Those who have been through it are glad they won't have to do it again. Those facing it dread it. Listen, yet no military force can exist without it. It says no military force can exist without it. And it is the basis of a common experience every veteran looks back on with secret pride. I don't care if you got an army in Afghanistan, the Taliban. I don't care what kind of army you got. It has to have a basic training or a boot camp, amen? Because you just can't go give a civilian an M16 or a 50 caliber machine gun and say, hey, go to war. You have to be trained, amen? Now, natural types of spiritual, amen? When we come to church, amen, what's happening? We're being trained, amen? Because our prophet told us, listen, if you have a battle, there has to be a battlefield. And the battlefield that was chosen is your mind. The battlefield that was chosen is your mind. And he told us, he said, we got spies in England and England got spies over here and we're doing this. You have to know what the enemy has, amen. You have to know the enemy's attack, amen. And when you know the enemy's attack, you know how to prepare yourself, amen. Because the prophet said he's got one punch, amen. So we know how to protect ourselves, amen. One thing that the army does, it takes a civilian out of his comfort zone. So when I started studying on this, I wanted to talk to people in the military. I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. So I asked one guy, I said, why do they make y'all, you know, fold your undergarments 6 inches and why they're so, you know, you got to make your bed a certain way? They said, when you go in the military, now catch it in the spiritual. Said they strip you of everything. Everything that you done learned from the day you was born, they strip it, amen. You no longer belong to yourself, amen. You belong to Uncle Sam, amen. The natural types of spiritual, amen. When we come to Christ, amen. Paul said I had to forget everything I know, amen. Now think about it. They said, I asked the guy, I said, well, why they make you fold your bed like that and stuff? And he said, it's like this, Carlos. He said, how can we expect you to go out here and torque a boat on a billion-dollar plane and you can't make your bed right? He said, we start with the small things. And that's what the military, it starts with the small things, amen. He said, if you come in there and your bed ain't made up proper, he'll rip it up, the drill sergeant said, make it over, amen. We start with the small things. See, it's not the big things that we're failing in. Are you hearing me? Well, we understand the sins. We understand those things. But it's the little things, amen. It's treating our brother right, having a good attitude, amen. Treating our wife right, amen. That's what we're failing in, amen. And while we're on it, I've been dodging this, we might as well deal with it. When I grew up, I was into sports. I loved some sports. I wasted my life wanting to go pro. Thought I was good enough to go pro. But I began to notice a trend around the message. Everybody in the sports. You got preachers in the sports. I was at a church preaching and I said something. Now, don't get mad. Go back and check it with the word. Go back and see what the prophet said. Amen. See, if you get mad, it shows something ain't right. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying, especially you go to Ohio, Tennessee, and I mean sports, people letting their kids play volleyball, girls play volleyball, dressed ungodly, and it's like we forget about the message, amen. You got dads that wasn't good in sports and they have a kid and they try to live their life through their kid, amen. No, God want to live his life through your kid, amen. But I begin to notice this thing on sports, amen. I'm preaching one day and a guy, a good brother, he was at the back of the church waiting on me. See, kids don't lie. That's what I like about kids. I said something about Dallas Cowboys or something. He turned around and looked at his daddy. I said, man. So when I go outside, the preacher and the pastor waiting on me. So I go outside. He said, Brother Carlos, I want to tell you something. He said, I don't hunt. I don't fish. See, right there, he was reasoning. I just said, okay. He said, this is how I relax. This is how I relax. I said, Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things aren't expedient. Listen to me, young men. If you caught up in sports, what do you do when you're watching the Cowboys and them cowgirls come on there? And your little boy sitting there and he looking at that. What do you do when your little girl come in the room and you glued to that TV looking at them cheerleaders and your little girl begin to think, I got to dress like that so I can get my daddy's attention. I got to dress like that so I can get a man's attention. Amen. Listen. LeBron James, he's probably a good man. But when my transmission went out on my car, he didn't call me. He didn't say, Brother Carlos, Michael Jordan never. He's probably a good man. I don't deny that. But when my transmission went on my van, they didn't call me and say, hey, I heard your transmission went out. Hey, do you need some help? I got music. They don't support me. I don't say this to be mean, but what are we feeding on? You wonder why you can't keep the victory in your house, amen. See, this is where it gets personal. We get quiet now. You go outside and you see everybody got their favorite team on their cup. They don't serve God. Them teams don't serve God. They don't like your God you serve. So why are we supporting them? I got one man, amen, and but... Think about it. Most of them criminals shooting people, robbing people. As soon as we get out of church, we, oh man, you see what my team done? Do you think that present stage can make the rapture? You say, well, Brother Carlos, I don't see. When the prophet was talking to this man, he said, oh, Brother Brown, he said, I couldn't hardly stand it. He said, that when them women were screaming in church and stuff like that. He said, well, if they didn't, I would have a problem. He said, well, what was that noise going on down there at the ball game? He said, oh, Brother Brown, you should have seen it. He said, the end of the ninth inning, so-and-so hit a home run. We go to games and shout. Now, see, I'm not preaching something to you that I haven't been through myself. Men, are you so caught up in sports? What are you watching on in the first place? I'm getting off this because we're speaking on a disciplined soldier. When I was little, I played Little League Baseball. We never had a game on Wednesday. See, you have to recognize the enemy's attack. When they got NASCAR races, they got them on Sunday. You go out here, you leave Sunday, they got soccer games, football games, they got it on Sunday. Why? When you get up, they got it on Sunday. Why? They got it on Wednesday. Why? To keep you out of church. To keep you so occupied with a man throwing something round, and we're so engulfed with it. We're going to get off that, but men, go home and pray about it. If you get upset what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the message. Go back and check it. Would Christ be pleased with me in this atmosphere? I used to go to Tennessee volunteer football games. I knew a fella that went to high school in where I'm from, and he used to give me tickets. And they literally worship those football players up there. They literally worship. And what grieves me, we got ministers. We got preachers. We got pastors involved in it. They preach good. They sing good. Amen. So you can't go with how good somebody preached. What are you feeding on? Amen. The prophet said when he was in Mishawaka, Indiana, those two men raised up and speak in tongues. He said one was a genuine Christian and one was a hypocrite. What are you? We're going on. We're speaking on a disciplined soldier. When a soldier goes to boot camp, he goes for 10 weeks. Week one is fall in. Week two is direction. Now each week they're training them in certain things because they realize when you go out to meet the enemy and where you're on the battlefield, you can't say, hold, time out. I ran out of ammunition. There's no time out, amen. So what they try to do, they try to make it as real as possible, amen, because they realize. Remember the prophet of God said when he was boxing, 6 seconds, Smith said he would hit him so hard. And he said, man, you like to nearly kill me. He said, Billy, I got to get you trained up. He said, I got to hit you hard because when you get hit, he said, it stops the blood. Amen. And he said, if I get you used to it, you can bounce back. He was being trained. Amen. Week two is direction. Week three is endurance. Week four is marksmanship. Week five is trials. Week six, I want to focus on this, is camaraderie. It says your platoon is only as strong as its weakest member. This week, you will learn to count on your fellow trainees. Bonds are formed and confidence is gained as trucks as exercises are implemented. I asked the guy I work with, I said, what do you miss about the military? He said, the camaraderie. He said, the bond that we had. He said, if I knew me and my brothers were so tight, he said, if I went out to battle and we ran out of ammunition, and he said, if I had to go hand to hand combat, I knew they were right behind me. I didn't have to worry about them running. He said, the unity that we had, he said, that's what I miss. The prophet of God said in 1957, the Mighty Conqueror, he said, if there's anything that makes Christians lazy, it's when they're on a flowery bed of ease. We don't have it persecution enough. We don't have it hard enough. Always a chain, always at the chain is the strongest at its weakest link. And a man under pressure is what he is when he's under pressure. We come right back to characteristics. He said his real true characteristics will show when he's under pressure. And God puts all his children under test to see whether there are any flaws in them or not. He said he put them under test. So there's nothing wrong with testing. There's nothing wrong with going through things. One more quote. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, it's the little things we leave undone. Trying to do the big things. And a chain is only as strong, only its best at its weakest link. Remember, no matter how great the other links are, it'll never hold more than its weakest link. Now I want you to listen to this. He said, and the church is the same. No stronger than its weakest member. He said, the church is the same. No stronger than its weakest member. The real you. We come to church. I was telling a brother, I said, the first time I met Brother Jewel, I go to his house and we put on in front of people. You know, meet somebody for the first time, you're real polite. Don't put your elbows on the table. Don't smack. Don't ask for seconds. You know it's true. We put on in front of people. When we come to church, we put on in front of people. We come and we're dignified. And God bless you. I mean, let's be honest, folks. We got it down pat. But when you go home and you close that door and you let that blind down, you check your cell phone, turn it off, that's the real you. That's the real you. I'll give you an illustration about putting on. Where I work at, we get discounts on Chrysler products. So I bought my wife a brand new car, Chrysler 300. And so I'm asking, I said, honey, let me drive it to work. I said, let me drive the car to work, you know. She's like, no. I kept on, let me drive the car to work, you know. Let me drive the car. I'm being honest. Let me drive the car to work. So she's like, all right. So where I work at, we got a big parking lot. I make sure I park at the way back. Now, remember, we're talking about putting on. See, when we put on, because we know people watching us. And so I park as far as I can park. And during break, I know everybody going to come out on the patio. Remember, we're talking about putting on. And so I walk down to my car. Everybody see me walking down there. I hit the automatic start, crank up. It's waiting on me. I get up. Where do I go? I park it in front of everybody. So I pull up. I don't even look back because I got the little navigation. I look. I back it up. Hit the lock it, walking off. And I know everybody watching me. And they said, bro, Carlos, man, that's a nice car. Oh, man. I didn't even notice that car, man. Now, see, I know they watching me. The reason I drove it up there is because I was putting on, amen. I wanted somebody to say something. I wanted them to see me in it, amen. And it's the same thing if we're not careful, amen. If we don't come to heart with a desire to please God, amen. We put on. We act a part, amen. But then when we go home, that's the real you. I used to have a temper. There ain't nothing wrong with having a temper. As long as you get delivered. I'm being honest. Remember we were talking about a disciplined soldier. I had a temper so bad, me and my wife got married. She'd make me so mad, I punched the walls. I'm being honest. I just hollered, and I hit the wall, boom, punch a hole in it. And I'm thinking, man, I got to get a picture. So I get a picture, and I put it over the hole. She say something else to me again, I hit another wall. And now the hole down here. So I get a picture and I put it right here. So finally I got to the point. I said, Lord, this is not your characteristics, amen. I got a temper, amen. Are you hearing me? In the Bible it says, why are my people sick? Is there no balm in Gilead? I knew I had a temper, amen. And there was deliverance for that temper, amen. So why do we come to church if we got a temper, if we battling this? Why do you keep it? Why do you keep it? And you don't have to. Remember we're talking about a disciplined soldier. About that camaraderie. If it's one thing that we need is love among one another. I'm not going to keep you long, but we need that unity among one another. Because see, right now we got our little groups, you know, this group go talk to these when we leave church, or, you know, the, this group, you know, that's, I get just illustrations. All the ones drive the red cars, they hang together, and the ones got the brick houses, they hang together. Now you read between the lines, and we got our little groups, and we don't associate. Well, you know, if they don't make as much as I do, then we don't want to have them over to eat. Well, you know, we got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to get out of our comfort zone. I got a cousin that's a police officer. And if an escaped convict broke loose and a cop pulled him over here and that escaped convict shot that cop, if that cop could get back to his walkie-talkie, if he could say, officer down, I need assistance. Officer down, I need assistance. Every cop in Johnson City would come running. Every cop in Kentucky, every cop down the street, they wouldn't get on the walkie-talkie and say, oh, hold on, what church do you go to? No, man, we don't fellowship with them. All they would realize, there's been a brother that's fell in the line of duty. Now, if police officers can have that kind of brotherhood, if that escape convict went to North Carolina, they would get on the phone and say, listen, it's been a brother up here that's failing the line of duty. The convict, he's in North Carolina. Listen, the cops would shut Tennessee down. They would shut North Carolina down until they found the man that done it. Now, what about us? What about us? When we see our brothers and sisters going through things, why don't we have that brotherhood? The prophet of God said when the bride recognizes who she is, when she recognizes who she is, she will be an invincible army. But first you have to recognize it. Week 6, they work on camaraderie. Week 7 is confidence. Week 8 is combat skill. Week 9 is victory forge. And week 10, they graduate. It says right here, it says, teamwork within the basic platoon recruits bond with their fellows, learning to work together, move together, live together, under rules that only see green, not black, white, or any other ethnicity. They learn to discard their individual concerns for the sake of a greater mission, as well as the importance of working together to achieve it. That's what the military does. That's what the military does. So what about us? Remember, we're talking about a disciplined soldier. We have to be disciplined in the way we conduct ourselves. We have to be disciplined in the bedroom. We have to be disciplined at work. We need more discipline. The prophet of God said that the disciples were so disciplined that God could nod his head. And they knew what to do. What are we feeding on? Why don't we have the victory like we should? You can look out on people and you can tell they're just so down and beat down. And what we have, why? You're not feeding it. You're not feeding on the word, amen. Maybe you're feeding on this, or you feed a little bit on the word and a little bit on the ball game. That'll make you miserable. But what are we feeding on? If you would, turn me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And it says, and when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Listen, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Listen to what he says. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I'll paraphrase it, Lipscomb version. This man was an army guy. He'd been trained. One thing, if you talk to somebody that was in the military, one thing they'll tell you, when they get out, they have a problem with civilian life because stuff don't get done. When you're in the military, you tell this man to go do it. You don't think if it's going to get, you know it's going to get done. And this was a disciplined soldier. And he had recognized it. He said, you only got to come to my house. He said, just speak the word. He said, with the little bit of authority I got, if I tell somebody to do something, it's going to get done. And he recognized the presence of God. Amen. The prophet of God said, why do we fuss? Why do we argue? Because we don't recognize the presence of God. And that centurion said, hey, just speak the word. And Jesus said, my, I ain't got no faith like this, not in Israel. Why? Because he had been trained. And it's the same thing that happened when we come to church. We've been trained. Soldiers must learn to understand and obey spoken commands without thought. For instant response may someday save their lives. Nobody likes getting rousted at old dark 30 to go march around in the rain under a heavy pack. But when a recruit can get out of the door on time, in the proper uniform, manage the load, forget the rain, and get the job done without having to stop and remember what a particular order means, he is well on his way to becoming a real soldier. And it's the same thing for us, folks. If we could recognize living this Christian life, it's not as hard as we think it is. It's not as hard as we think it is. Uriah Shalom, come here. Y'all forgive me. I love preaching to little kids. And I like them just to see it. This is my baby. Come here, Uriah. Now, this is my baby. 4-year-old baby. He's my last one. Uriah, say amen.
Amen.
Uriah, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I guarantee you, he's nervous. Natural types of spiritual. He don't know why he's been called, but he just know his father called him. He's scared. He can't figure it out, but he know his father called him. And because his father called him, he came. He didn't come up here with his own words. He didn't have to say what I'm going to say. His daddy told him what to say. His daddy told him, say amen. He say amen. His daddy said, tell him, praise the Lord. He say, praise the Lord. He don't understand it, amen. But he's just listening to his father. You go back and sit down, buddy. Now I guarantee you. I guarantee you, when he was up here, he didn't have to worry about nobody messing with him. Are you understanding me? The natural types of spiritual, amen. He didn't have to worry about nobody. Listen, if somebody would mess with him, you looking at 303 pounds on you. Okay, I'm being honest. He didn't have to worry about somebody messing with him. Why? Because he knew his daddy was with him. If we can catch a revelation, the prophet of God said, fear is the the worst thing that Satan could put on you. Fear is the worst thing he could put on you. If we could get unconscious, if we could be unconscious of fear and recognize the presence of God. Forget about what your neighbor thinking. Forget about what this guy thinking. And just realize our Father has called us. And if he called us, he's going to tell us what to say. It's not what I want. No, I just say what he say. Remember, we've been speaking on a disciplined soldier. As the musicians come, Samson, when he got his eyes put out, Delilah had found his secret. And I wonder if the enemy has found our secret. We live in a day, if they could play something softly, we live in a day when we're so busy with everything. Your whole day gone just like that. And I can see how the devil is robbing us of prayer. You go back and listen to everything what the prophet said about prayer. It's so easy to get down and say, Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for this day. Bless us. Amen. But you realize that current prayer life is not going to meet the condition. It's not going to meet the challenge for the day. We got to get to a point where we press through. You know what press through means? Is when you get down to praying and after 5 minutes you think, well, I just feel like getting in bed. Lord, I get up in the morning. No, we need to press through. The prophet God told a story about a little pond lily. He said that little pond lily had to press through all the mud and all the scum. He had to press, amen. And when you get down to pray, amen, the devil realizes that if they recognize who they are, I can't stop them, amen. So when you get down to pray, guess what? The phone will ring, the children will start crying, everything will happen. Because he don't want you to get into the presence of God. See, a lot of times we do a little prayer just to make us feel, you know, well, I'm okay. You know, I pray for 2 minutes. I'm okay. But we realize that the present state we're in, you can't meet the challenge of the day. When you start looking in God's word, and you got to see where you line up. Just like when I had a temper, I had to look in the mirror of God's word and say, Lord, this is not of you, Lord. And I need help. No matter how much I could come and put it off and play the part, get around my father, act like everything was all good, I knew in my heart that I had a temper. And I knew in my heart, if I didn't get rid of that temper, it was going to send me to hell. We got to get to a point where we forget about what other people are thinking. We're so caught up in what other people are thinking. Well, we got to forget what they think. And you got to get to a point where you look in the mirror of God's word. And you say, Lord, is that me with that temper? Lord, is that me lusting after sports and I'm depriving my wife of time because I'm so wrapped up in sports? Think about it. And see, now either the blood of Jesus Christ is on your hand or it's in your heart. Because when you leave here, young men, old men, and you go home and you want to turn on that game and just see the last score, and the Lord will bring back me talking about sports, and you say, I'll just forget about it. Remember the prophet said, you fight your way to hell. You say, well, Brother Carlson, is that going to send me to hell? Is it going to send you to heaven? How is that edifying you? Hallelujah. I don't know why I keep coming back to sports. But how is that edifying you? How is that building you up in the kingdom of God? It's not. But you'll step right over it and say, well, I'm going to watch the game anyway. How is that getting you closer to God? If we'll stand, let's just bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we come to you, Lord, and Lord, may the saints here, Lord, just Lord, may they just recognize, Lord, we need to be a disciplined soldier. Lord, I realize I skipped and jumped. But Lord, I sit back and I see people so involved with things. And Lord, your prophet said it's like a man going down the stream in a boat. And you knew there was a waterfall. And he said you would do everything in your power to try to stop him. And Lord, I see the same thing today. Lord, people are so wrapped up with things of the world. And they're trying to make themselves believe that it's okay. And they realize they don't have victory in the home. They don't have victory in their life. And Lord, it's just a struggle every day for them, Lord. Lord, may they reckon they don't have to live like that. We don't have to live a million miles below our privileges. Lord, just like when I realized I had that temper, I said, it's got to go. And Lord, there was deliverance for me, Lord. Lord, may you encourage this group here, Lord Jesus. Lord, all that they've been through, Lord, is like your prophet said, it's a test to see if we got any flaws in us. And Lord, when we pass this test, it's going to be another test. And when we pass that test, it's going to be another test until we get out of here. Lord, because that test was designed to strengthen us, to help us. Lord, your word said they're more precious than gold, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody, Lord, that's battling these things, Lord, Lord, may you have your way with them, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you deal with their hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I turn it over to our brother.
I'm going to be waiting for him back there at that door, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk over and shake his hand and say, God bless you. How many appreciates the truth? Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. We want to be disciplined soldiers. Not soldiers with diapers on. Soldiers with popsicles and suckers in our mouths. Rugged people that's able to take the word of God. Amen. We so appreciate the word. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Amen. Let me just say to you, I'm sure that many of you know that Brother Junior Davis' situation is very, very serious. But without the Lord performing a miracle for our brother, he won't be with us very much longer at all. They had to do surgery on him, and they're going to do surgery again tomorrow. And it's just a very, very serious situation. We know even now, the Lord Jesus can raise him up and heal him and perform a miracle, right? But the thing that we want is, God, what is your will? I was telling the family today, his name has been called in prayer before God, no doubt thousands of times since he got sick. Over a year he's been sick. And you look in the scripture and you look in even the ministry of Brother Branham, and maybe one person would have very simple faith and a profound miracle will happen. Just one person praying. Maybe it wasn't even a well-trained, well-taught person, but just a person that had faith, and it was the season for that to be on the earth. And you think of all the people that have been praying and all the faith that has been applied. And to me as a pastor, when I look at it, when you've got people that are praying, they're praying in faith, and you know there are people who've seen God successfully move before, and God doesn't move in that direction of faith, and you step back and you say, okay, now wait a minute. These people ain't hypocrites or not devils. We see they've got faith. Then there must be another plan here. So, Lord, you help us tonight. If the Lord Jesus could walk to the tomb of Lazarus and raise a man from the dead whose body had already started to decay, you're not going to tell me he cannot raise up a man with cancer. I know he can. Right? Absolutely. So we just want to pray. I'd like for us to have a special prayer tonight before we go, if we can, for Brother Junior, also for the family, that God would just be with them and help them the days that lay ahead. Heavenly Father, as we've heard it here tonight, Lord, we want to be disciplined, trained soldiers. Dear God, we know that soldiers don't win every battle of life that they face. Soldiers don't always understand every command of their commanding officers. So we as soldiers, we won't always understand your will. We won't understand, Father, there may be some taken by this way or that way. And the way we look at it, we think, well, why would a good person have to suffer this and that? And no doubt many of these questions will not be answered until we get to the other side. Because here we are, we're looking through a glass darkly, and it's heavily tinted from our side. So we can't make out everything. Some of the images are blurry, and we can't see clearly. And there's much of it that's left missing on our part. But Lord, there's one thing we do know. You make absolutely no mistakes. Father, we pray for Brother Junior. Lord, as I stood by his bedside today and reached over, Lord, and told him how much I loved him and how glad I was able to be friends in this life and be called to this great message. Lord, he started moving around. My brother Jim came in, Jim Babb, he started moving around and moving his feet, so we know he hears us, recognizes us. Even now, Lord, though this cancer is in so much of his body, they've had to remove different parts of his body because of it. That's nothing to you. What's a man without a colon? Verses in the beginning when man was made with a colon and stomach and lungs and this and that. That's nothing to you. But the thing we want, Lord, what is your will concerning this matter? Dear God, I pray for Sister Judy. I pray for the children, the grandchildren. Lord, that you just strengthen them and help them. His mother and sister flew in this afternoon. I just pray, Father, for them. Oh, Lamb of God. We stand tonight, Lord, in a similarity to the Hebrew children as they stood so many, many years ago. They said, we're not sure if our God will bring us through this fiery furnace. We just really don't know. But there's one thing we do know. We will not bow to your image. So their faith was not so much that they were going to be delivered, but their faith was in the deliverer. And that's the way we look tonight, Lord. Something will have to take us all if we live long enough and we go by the way of the grave. But Lord Jesus, we know Satan's last blow upon our mortality may be death. But once he does, that's his last impact he'll have on us forever. Because all it is an open door by which we move across the river. And once we move across the river, he has no more claim on us at all. Lord Jesus, we love you, Father. We wait for your deliverance. Lord Jesus, as I told Brother Nathan today, Brother Junior Davis is a winner either way. Whether he's healed by divine healing or by a miracle, or whether he steps out of this mortal body into a theophany body that was created him before the foundation of the world, he is a winner. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May we take the word that we've heard tonight, Father, and apply it to our lives, Lord. Grant it, dear God. We want to be as this little child that we saw step up here just a few moments ago at the command of his Father and just repeat the words, what his Father told him to say. May we be the same way, Lord Jesus. You've called us. You've spoken to us. May we say your words, Lord God. Hallelujah. Teach us, Lord God. Teach us, I pray. Hallelujah. Grant it, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. He called my name. Some of you sang it earlier. Let's worship him now a little bit before we go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. You believe it tonight with all your heart? Let's sing it together now. Oh, how we appreciate the word so much tonight.
I have a maker.
Think about it now.
To God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Service in the morning, 11 o'clock. A black helicopter be landing in. Hallelujah. Brother Jewel has got his little signature on his text thing. You know, people have different things on their text and things, so his is helicopter in flight. God bless you, saints. Been good to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. So happy to be on the Lord's side. Well, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.